lights and their abominations, so will I choose their decisions and bring their tears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word, your brethren who hated you. Who cast you out of my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy, but they shall be ashamed. Sound of the noise from the city, a voice from the temple. The voice of the Lord, who fully repays his enemies.
Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not call delivery, says the Lord? Shall I, who cause delivery, shut up the womb, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed, on her sides shall you be carried, and be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem.
All right, thank you, Bill. You read an extra one. Do we have to pay extra for that, or is that free? it's a bonus.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Because, you know, you're supposed to read through 12, but 13 is good, too. I know you, the reason I repeated myself is not to embarrass you, but because you were looking at me like you didn't know what I was talking about. Now you do. All right. Thank you both. In chapter 66, we're going to skip ahead just for a moment, because I think a good place to start is verses 7 through 9, because what we're talking about here, and this is Wiersbe's last point. This is number 6, if you're keeping an outline. This covers all of chapter 66. The birth of the new nation. Number 6, the birth of the new nation. This took us all the way back to chapter, I believe it was chapter 40. Remember the book of Consolation? Chapter 40 all the way through chapter 66. And this is the last point, the birth of the nation. Verses 7 through 9 describe the birth of a nation. Israel, of course, will be front and center on the international stage during the millennial reign of Christ. Their return to the land will be swift as the birth of a baby. And I understand that some women are in, Barbara was in labor for a long time with some of the children, but compared to a lot of things, it's not a tremendously long time generally. And when you think about a nation being born, if you compare it to the birth of a child, that's a pretty short period of time, isn't it? And when that will occur is Romans chapter 11, verse 26, where the Bible says, all Israel shall be saved. Zechariah talked about the people looking upon him whom they have pierced. So this is the second coming of Christ. As he comes back, we come back with him, and he sets up his kingdom. Israel's travail will be the day of the Lord, or you could, some places call it the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse number 7, God will purify then his people and prepare them for Messiah's kingdom. Remember, we mentioned a while back that Israel's political rebirth was May 14th, 1948. Barbara was 3 days old when Israel was reformed as a political nation. But the new Israel will be born in a day when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Romans 11, verse number 26. And then in verses 10 through 14, let me go ahead and go back now. I just wanted to, 7 through 9 were the, let me go over those real quick, and then we'll start with verse number 1. Otherwise, we'll be jumping all over. But look at verse 7. Before she travailed or was in labor, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or be born in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed or had birth pangs, she brought forth her child. Two lessons that are possible. There could be more. Let me just give you two possible lessons taught in these verses using the human birth process. Number one, you're going to find this to be profound. So hang on to your seat. Are you buckled up? You should have a seatbelt there near you. No birth can come until labor pains come. Come on. I thought for sure I'd get a round of applause. Nothing. Not even a yes, amen, glory to God. Nothing. Nothing. And then number two, when labor comes, are you ready for this one? Birth will surely follow. I hate to take two bows in one Wednesday night, but you have to admit that was deep. So the point is, when labor, Israel's sufferings will end with a delivery described in verse number 9. And that, of course, is the time when they will be restored totally to the land of Israel. They will then be that special nation that Christ intends for them to be. They will be brought into the kingdom. Verse number 10, rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All ye that mourn for her. Why? Because Israel will enter the thousand-year reign, the kingdom of Christ. Thousand-year ruling and reigning of the Messiah. All right, now back to verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house? Or I think ESV has, what is the house that ye built? KJV has unto me, could be for me, and where or what is the place of my rest? And the idea is, God is not looking for a temple of stone, is he? Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verses 49 and 50, when he was, sort of preaching, and they were stoning him, or stoned him shortly after his message, and he continued to. As a matter of fact, let me read those two verses to really drive it home. Stephen was one of the original seven that was chosen in the sixth chapter to help with the ministry to the widows, and of course. He preached Christ and him crucified, preached truth, and it cut many of the hearers to the heart, and they, of course, picked up stones and said, man, this guy's got to go. And that kind of hatred, I just want to throw this out there, that kind of hatred, that is what we're beginning to see from the far left radical fringe. I'm serious. I mean, if... they are a violent group. Don't you think for a minute, if they couldn't get away with it, they'd be killing a lot of people. I mean, it's that bad. You may say, I don't think it's that bad. No, it's that bad. The hatred that they have is so strong toward not just Trump and DeSantos and Ron Paul and No. Any conservative, they have absolute disdain for. And that's, what was Stephen's crime here? Yeah, telling the truth. And of course, what they're trying to do now is trying to continue the cancel culture. But by the way, if you think I'm not serious, or this isn't serious, you do realize that our FBI is no doubt, and they've even admitted, they're targeting conservative Christians. They're targeting anybody that likes Trump. I mean, when you bring a SWAT team, and I don't know how many FBI agents went to that Christian's house that had gone to a pro-life rally, didn't do anything wrong, never been arrested, never been in trouble, had 7 kids at home, and they knock his door down and come in with guns drawn. Now, was that appropriate? Is that normal? Did anybody see any of that happen to those that were rioting and burning down courthouses and killing policemen? And anybody see any kind of... but we have a Christian man that went to a pro-life rally, and he's a target. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. And it will continue. But here in Acts chapter 7, you probably thought I forgot, didn't you? No, surprisingly not. But in chapter 7, verses 49 and 50, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? And then he sort of gets a little direct here. Ye stiff-necked or obstinate and uncircumcised in heart and ears. And so he's basically telling them, you are as unclean before God as uncircumcised Gentiles. Uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. And of course, verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. Yeah. Pretty serious stuff. I heard a couple distressing things regarding segregation. You know, we are the ones that are supposedly segregationists. But 2 instances were brought out today. One in California. I'm not sure if it's a university or what. But they actually have an area now in one of the universities or one of the where no Jews are allowed. It's a no Jew zone. And then there's another one where I can't remember if it was blacks or who it was that were they were not allowed. They had divided, segregated. Did you hear about this, Bill? I can't remember where it was. I'll have to. It was. I heard it from Bongino today, and I can't remember where that happened.
It was a while back. They also had segregated dorms and buildings where some white students had come in. It was like a student, you know, union building. And they came in to sit down and do some studying together, and they were told they had to leave because they're white.
So we know who the segregationists are, don't we? And it's not the Republicans. All right. Okay, back to Isaiah. I hear so much of this stuff, I can't keep it all straight. I need to start actually making a note. I'd have hundreds of pages already full of this nonsense. All right, so Stephen quoted in Acts chapter 7. But the point is, God created everything. All of it's his. So really, all the universe is his dwelling place. But what he chooses is he wants to reside in the human heart, doesn't he? In the person of the Holy Spirit. But he won't reside in just any heart, will he? It has to be a humble heart, a contrite heart, one that acknowledges one's inability to save oneself, that has no good in themselves, that need a Savior, people that trust Christ, take God at his word, and even more than just listen to the word of God, tremble at it. I think we're missing the trembling, don't you? What happened, Becca? Did you break a tooth?
No, I
Oh, I hate that. Oh, that's a shame. Couple of good verses. One right here in Isaiah 57, verse number 15. Isaiah 57, verse number 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity and whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And of course, this was specifically written to Israel, reminding them that God's grace will prevail and spiritual healing would come for them along with restoration. And then also Psalm 34, verse 18, remember God is near to them that are of a contrite heart and a broken spirit. So God is looking for hearts to dwell in, of people who are not satisfied with external religion, not satisfied but with trying to work in a way good enough to honor God, which is impossible, trying to earn merit, trying to find a way to please God in the flesh, but looking for those that Jesus described in the Sermon on the Mount as those who are poor in spirit. Those that realize, that recognize, you know what? I am bankrupt spiritually without Christ. I'm just bankrupt. I need a Savior. And they turn to Christ. God wants to dwell in the hearts of those people. And he does. He's in your heart right now, isn't he? The person of the Holy Spirit. He indwells every believer. Then in verse 3, God hates the sacrifices of the wicked. He that kills an ox. Remember, you have the remnant, the faithful remnant. And then the majority of Jews that hated them. I mean, despised them. And mock them and mock their God, but yet claimed to be religious. So he that kills an ox is as if he slew a man. Now, Isaiah is writing, of course, in the name of the Lord. He's writing to those, not the faithful remnant, but the apostate Jews that rejected the truth of the word of God, rebelled against him, and even mocked him and his servants. So God is saying, you bring your animal and sacrifice him, you apostate Jews, and you're no better than if you would have killed a man, because that offering means nothing. You haven't reached me. You haven't pleased me. In my eyes, it's so distasteful. I so abhor it that I'm going to treat you with the same guilt I would treat, or the same judgment that I would treat you if you killed a person. I bet the animal rights wackos would love this verse, wouldn't it? They'd take it and twist that bad boy, and I'd have to give up eating beef. And you know the chances of that. Or he that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off or breaks a dog's neck. Again, offering a dog. He that offers an oblation, ESV has grain offering, as if he offered swine's blood. You see, taking things that were good, if they were done with the right attitude and for the right motivation, seeking to glorify God, taking those and doing them without the right heart attitude and the right relationship with God turns them into perverse things. I mean, for a Jew to think about offering swine's blood, I mean, remember, you know, the blood, the people had to be careful with blood. Now, they did pour out blood and stuff, but they couldn't drink the blood, couldn't eat the blood. So, I mean, the blood was significant. And then to say that offering, a grain offering in the eyes of God because of their wicked hearts, was as if they had offered swine's blood? That's quite an indictment, isn't it? Wow. He that burned incense as if he blessed an idol, or like one who had blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights. Bad enough they do it, but they delight in their abominations, in their shallow hypocrisy. It's amazing how many people think God's just pleased with a little religion. I love the verse in James where the Bible says that the devil or demons believe and they tremble. I mean, that's a sincere work. When a demon or the devil himself would tremble in the face of God, that's sincere tremble. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, they're repenting and going to get saved. That's not what I mean. But they really believe that Jesus is the Christ. They know he's the Christ. And so they tremble. But many people that have religion have no fear of God and would never tremble at the word of God. We could use some trembling in the presence of God and in the reading of his word, couldn't we? Okay, so it's quite an indictment against them. Apostate Israelites had this rivalry against the remnant, and they were going to end up losing. Empty-hearted offerings, just like a pagan if they would offer a person. Verse 4, I also will choose their delusions, will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. And when I spake, they didn't hear. They might have heard something, but they didn't listen. But they did evil before mine eyes and choose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you. So he's speaking to the remnant, talking about the apostate Jews who have hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, and said, let the Lord be glorified. And they were saying that mockingly. Let the Lord be glorified, mocking God. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. The first part of that statement, but he shall appear to your joy, could be translated that we may see your joy. So they were blasphemous, they were sarcastic, and the apostates will be judged. In chapter 65, previous chapter, beginning with verse 11, but ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, that furnish the drink offering under that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword. Ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, ye didn't answer. When I spake, ye did not hear or listen, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink. He's talking about the remnant again, the faithful remnant, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. All right, we could read further. Let's stop there. I lost my place anyway. I don't know where I'm at. 65, where is it? Here it is, 11 through 15. I'll stop there. Back to verse 5. Last part again. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city. This is verse 6. A voice or a sound from the temple. A voice or a sound of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Where it says a voice of noise from the city, ESV has the sound of an uproar. The sound of an uproar. And then we looked at verses 7 through 10. Verse 11, Israel's compared to a nursing mother, that she may suck or nurse and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, which of course speaks of being full and satisfied, that she may milk out. That's what he's talking about, being satisfied, and be delighted with the abundance of her glory, or from her glorious abundance. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. There's a lot of songs that have come out of Isaiah. Have you noticed that? This is part of It Is Well with My Soul. When peace like a river, right? It's amazing. So the peace will be so abundant. It will be like a body of water between two hills that generally is dried up, but then you have heavy times of rain and it'll start rushing and water will flow. That's what God is promising Israel. He said, you know, it may seem like things are a little dried up right now. You don't feel at peace right now. You have a lot of travail, a lot of heartache, a lot of things happening. A lot of things will happen, but the day is coming when my peace will flow like a river. And sometimes we need to just grab a hold of this and hang on, because there are going to be days like Judy's going through where you can't find peace. You can't find peace. So I'm trying to get her to trust a promise. I know it doesn't seem that way now, Judy, but peace will come. I know it doesn't seem that way now, Judy, but joy will come back. You know, just trust the Lord. Trust Him. Believe in Him. And you know she believes. But when you're going through that and your mind's not working right because you got all this medication and it just breaks my heart that she has to go through this kind of inner turmoil, that any of our brothers and sisters have to go through that kind of that inner turmoil and not have peace. You know, when you walk in somebody's room and they're crying. Now, if someone's crying because they had surgery and they're hurting, that's one thing, right? But when they're crying because their heart's broke, their mind's confused, when I went in there Saturday, we talked a little bit, and she was really on some medication then. Nurse came in, opened up the bathroom door, and she asked the nurse, when am I going to go to my room? She said, I am. And the nurse said, you are in your room. She said, no, I'm in the bathroom. You know, because she saw that door there open up, because it's kind of weird the way they have it there. Right by the bed is you can see the bathroom. I hope she knows that I wouldn't have been in the bathroom with her. It's all she needs to do. Somebody come visit her. Yeah, the pastor was in the bathroom with me. Oh, man. All right. So I will extend peace to her, Jerusalem, Israel, like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles. Remember, Gentiles can be translated nations, okay? The glory of the nations, like a flowing stream. Then shall ye nurse, ye shall be born or carried upon her sides and be dandled. Don't you love that word, dandled? I want to start using that. You know, I like the word dandy, but dandled. And be dandled upon her knees. Next time I see my little great-granddaughter, I'm going to dandle her upon my knees. It means to bounce, right? Bounce her upon. Oh, little Reagan, how do you like Gramps dandling you upon his knees? I know I've been wound up today. I probably shouldn't listen to Bongino on Wednesdays. But man, he's so good. I love it. And so accurate. It's not a bunch of hoop, not a bunch of hooey. You know, it's like he says, I bring the receipts. He's got all the proof. He's got all the articles. He said, I'm not telling you this. Listen to this. And he'll put on a clip and you hear him say it. Or he'll show an article, you know. Here, read it for yourself. Here it is. And he'll read it. And see. All right, today is the 5th, correct? All right, next week, we'll finish this chapter. Whatever time we got left, I will go over some things about the millennium. Following Wednesday, Lord willing, we will begin a new study in Jude. Jude. Okay? Scott suggested that. I thought I went through Jude, but I didn't. It was done evidently not long before I got to it. So I skipped it and went into Revelation. Questions, comments? All right. Let's stand together. You ready to go home? Scott, pray, would you please?
Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to come here tonight and spend time with each other and spend time in your word. We thank you for the filling of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can learn these things, that they can be brought to recollection as they are needed. We thank you for the messages that you've delivered here tonight and ask that you help us to carry them out into the world that others may be saved through your word.
Yes, God.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Be safe.